إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We lord Him and beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one can guide him. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He's alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is a servant and His messenger. As to what follows, surely the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, and the worst of all affairs are newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is an innovation, every innovation is astray, and every astray is in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined on the Muslims, those of us who are the best of human beings, a admonition from Himself through the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and an encouragement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the three most important jobs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to bring. The aspect of the mission of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is divided into three parts is to teach us the Quran and to teach us the hikmah of the Qur'an, which is the sunnah, and to also make us sanctified, to purify our hearts, to make our hearts tender, to make our hearts soft, so that we can have mercy on individuals, because if we don't have mercy on others and under the individuals, we will not be given mercy. Those three things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, that the Messenger of Allah will teach them, us, the Muslims, the book, the hikmah, which is the sunnah, the explanation of the book, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and tazkiyah. This tazkiyah, brothers and sisters, is extremely important because it helps develop our lives in the moral sense. It helps us restrain our souls and our nafs so that we can go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with qalbun salim, with a pure, unadulterated heart. To have an unadulterated, pure heart that is soft, because many hearts, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His glorious Quran, are harder than rocks. Some hearts are harder than rocks. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are some rocks in which water seeps through them, and some fall min khashyatillah, from the fear of Allah. So in order to make our hearts soft, in order to develop this sanctification of our souls and the purification of our hearts, which is tazkiyah, in order to become of the people who practice zuhud, who try to think about the next life and not so much about this life, one of those aspects that is of extreme importance is that the Muslim develops the aspect of crying. This is something that most of us don't hear a lot about. Crying or weeping in Islam. And for those of us who come from other countries which are Muslim countries, like Egypt or India or Pakistan or Arabia. We're used to seeing people cry, especially men. In the United States of America, specifically and in general in the Western world, it is considered a soft thing, to use a colloquial term, for a man to cry. When men cry in this society, they're looked upon as a soft person, a feminine type person. But in other countries, as most of you who are from those countries know, especially in the month of Ramadan, and more specifically in the last 10 days of Ramadan, in the odd nights, you see people in the masajid around the world crying, especially the men. You see them crying because of what they know that their hands have done. Because they know and they're not sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept their forgiveness, is going to forgive them, accept their tawbah. So they cry. You see tears flowing from their eyes. So this particular aspect of a tazkiyah, of purification of the heart and sanctification of the soul, this particular aspect of it, of weeping, is extremely important. The scholars of Islam, may Allah be pleased with them, starting from the companions all the way down to our generations, they say that human beings usually cry for these reasons. One, sometimes the human being weeps due to the feeling of mercy and kindness. And maybe some of us have experienced this. Some of us have waited for a child 10, 12, 15, 18, 20 years. We waited for a child with our lives. Nothing happens. You do all that you can do as a human being. You seek all the types of the advanced scientific advancements, and nothing happens. And then after constant patience, after dua, after zikr to Allah, standing up at night, fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes your wives to become pregnant after waiting a decade or two. This can cause a person to cry because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because of His kindness. Some of us have what they call fatal diseases or near fatal diseases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and His kindness, He removed this disease. So the person cries. So one of the reasons why the scholars of Islam say that human beings cry is due to their recognition of the mercy and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another reason is due to fear. It's due to fear from the khashyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person reads the ayat of Quran and the ahadith of sahiha from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it talks about the skin being burned off of our bodies and being replaced and burned off and replaced and burned off and replaced and burned off and replaced, or people drinking a drink in the hellfire, may Allah keep us away from it, that is made from the pus and the urine, and the dropping of all those things that die of the human beings and the animals. Zakkum. Zakkum, you will drink these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for those who disbelieve, those who disobey Allah, out of the fear of this, the fear of not answering those questions correctly in the grave, when the two angels ask you, who is your Lord? What is your deen? And who is your leader? When we read that these two angels shall hit these individuals for each question with a hammer or a mallet, that is what they hit, the Prophet ﷺ said, a mountain, it would crumble it to dust. When we read this and how the grave is going to crush the person so that the right side of his rib goes to the left and vice versa, people cry when you read these ayats and these hadiths because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third reason why the scholars say that human beings cry sometimes is due to love. Simply because of the love that he may have for Allah or his messenger. As Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa radahu, one day when he came outside of his house, walking through the streets, he heard some weeping. He saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Prophet's best friend among the human beings, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, crying. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, after asking them what makes them cry, because he himself wasn't crying, he said, if I had not known what made them cry, I would make myself cry just because they cried. Why? Because of the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't even know the reason why they were crying. Just because the Messenger of Allah was crying, he said, I would make myself cry. And he made himself cry. Because of love. The fourth reason is due to utmost joy, which is connected closely to the kindness and mercy of Allah. The fifth is sometimes due to pain. People cry because of pain. And this is also a mercy from Allah. Because if you didn't have pain, you would not know that something was bothering you. You would not know that you were shot, may Allah forbid, or stabbed, or at the least, you were pricked by some pin or a thorn on a root. So Allah gave us out of His infinite mercy pain. And from this pain, human beings cry. Sometimes due to suffering, tyranny, and oppression, people cry. As we see in the time of the companions, how they were being tormented. How Bilal ibn Rabah, radiallahu anhu, was put on the blazing sands of the desert, big rocks placed on his chest with no shirt on, and them prodding him and trying to incite him to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things like this, when people see this, it makes them cry. And also, the great companion Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, when he was forced to watch his mother being tortured, the first martyr in Islam, a woman. He was forced to watch his mother being tortured. And this made him cry. Then sometimes the human being, when committing of sins, after he or she commits the sin, they ponder upon the sin and it makes them cry. Because they know that they have committed a crime against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have the type of crying which is due to hypocrisy. You find some Muslims crying just to make people see them cry. They cry to show off. So you see them in the salah, or you hear them crying when they're listening to the recitation of Quran, and they cry just to be seen. Of course, this type of crying is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah the Most High is good, and He only accepts that which is good. And another kind of weeping is that for which one is hired to weep. We have in some Muslim countries, and even in America, the bawakin, the bakiyah, and it happened in the time of the Prophet. Women who are hired to come to the funeral, professional wailers, who cry for money. And when they get their payment, they leave happy. Then we have what the mashayikh, the scholars of Islam, say that this type of weeping is absolutely unacceptable by Allah. And that type of weeping, brothers and sisters, is the weeping that one does over a sin that they have committed, yet they persist in the sin. They cry over the sin that they've committed, And then they go right back to the sin. يَعُودُ إِلَى ذَنْبِهِ. They return to committing the sin. The scholars of Islam, they say that this type of weeping is false weeping. On the authority of Uqbah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he related that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how can salvation be achieved? He said, alayhi salat wa salam, with his own blessed tongue, by controlling your tongue, take to your house and weep over your sins. Rawahu Tirmidhi, hadithun sahih. By taking to your house after controlling your tongue, this piece of flesh that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, that if you can protect it and secure it, and that which is between your thighs, he will guarantee you paradise. Control your tongue, take to your houses, and weep over your sins. This is how you will achieve salvation. In another hadith, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, he related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, don't indulge in too much talk. Don't indulge in too much talk without the remembrance of Allah. For much talk without the remembrance of Allah hardens the heart, and the person farther from Allah will be the one who has a hard heart. Rawahu Tirmidhi, hadithun sahih. And this hadith is collected by Tirmidhi, and it is authentic. So fear of Allah, controlling the tongue, restraining your nafs is important. As Allah says in Surah Al-Rahman, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. What does he have? جَنَّتَان. Whoever fears standing in front of his Lord, he won't have one Jannah, he'll have two Jannah. Whoever fears standing in front of his Lord. And again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, I see that which you don't see. The heaven squeak, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and it is justified in doing so. There is not in it a hand's breadth of space, but it is occupied by an angel whose forehead is in prostration before Allah. If you knew, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ, if you knew what I know, لَدَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, you would laugh little and you cry much. If you knew, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ, if you knew what I knew, you would laugh little and you would cry much. He didn't stop there. And he said, and you would not enjoy having sexual intercourse with your legal wives. You wouldn't enjoy consorting with your wives. And you would issue forth in the streets and open spaces seeking shelter in Allah. Rawahu Bukhari wa Muslim. We have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that he said that one of the daughters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was on the verge of death. He took her in his lap and placed her before himself, and in this condition his daughter radiallahu anha died. She breathed her last breath before the blessed eyes of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ayn radiallahu anha, the slave woman, began to cry loudly. Sahat. She began to scream, to cry loudly. So he said to her, why do you start wailing before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Since his own tears too were flowing, she said, aren't you also weeping? This kind of weeping is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the flowing of the tears from the eyes of the individual. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present at the grave of his daughter. Of course we know his daughter, Kulthum, who was the wife of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. And this is why Uthman was called Dhul Nurain, the possessor of two lights. Because he married one daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when she died, he married the other one. The possessor of two lights. He was at her grave, and his eyes began to flow with tears. Then he said, "Let one of you who has not had sexual intercourse with his wife last night go into the grave." He asked, "Who of you had not had sexual intercourse with his wife?" He said, "أَفِيكُمْ رَجُلٌ لَمْ يُقَارِفِ اللَّيْلَ." Which of you has not had intercourse with his wife last night so he can go into the grave? And Abu Talha radiallahu anhu said, "Ana." In other words, "I did not have this intercourse with my wife last night." So the Prophet told him, "Anzil." And he got inside of the grave. Hid into the grave, Abu Talha, and he got inside of the grave to assist with burying the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an authentic hadith in Muslim, where some companions came by and saw him weeping. They asked him, "O Messenger of Allah, ma yubkika, what makes you cry?" He said, "I asked my Lord's permission to seek forgiveness for my mother." He was sitting at the grave of his mother. "I asked my Lord's permission to seek forgiveness for my mother, and he didn't permit me to have forgiveness for my mother, to ask forgiveness for her. And I asked my Lord to visit the grave of my mother, and he allowed me." So you see why the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cries? Because, one, he didn't really know his mother because she died at a young age, when he was at a young age. And number two, is because he couldn't help her, because she's in the hellfire. "I asked my Lord to seek forgiveness for my mother, وَلَمْ يَأْذِنْ بِي. And he didn't give me permission. I asked him to visit the grave of my mother, فَأَذِنَ بِي. And he allowed me. وعن أبي أمامة سدي بن عجلان الباهلي رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: ليس شيء أحب إلى الله تعالى من قطرتين وأثرين. There's nothing more dearer, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, to Allah than two drops, قطرتين, and two marks. أثرين, two drops and two marks. قطرتي دموعي من خشية الله وقطرتي دم تهراق. تهراق how? تهراق في سبيل الله. The two drops are the drops that are shed out of the fear of Allah, and a drop of blood في سبيل الله, in jihad. No two drops are more precious, more dear to Allah than these two drops. وَأَمَّا الْأَثَرَانِ, and as for the two marks, فَأَثَرٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَثَرٌ فِي فَرِيضَةٍ مِنْ فَرَائِدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. The marks that one receives in Allah's cause, meaning the marks that the people get on their forehead from making sajda, on their ankles for sitting in jalsa, on their knees for sitting in sujood. When you have these marks on your forehead and on your body, these marks are loved by Allah. And the mark that is discharged, or that is caused by fulfilling the obligatory act among the acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has levied on us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, in a hadith recorded by al-Tirmidhi, and the hadith is Hasan, the hellfire will not touch two types of eyes, one which watches or stands in the night for the sake of Allah, and the other one which weeps or sleeps because of the fear of Allah. subhanahu wa ta'ala. These eyes, the fire will never touch. Or sadaq Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah truly speaks the truth. He is as-sadiq and he's masduq. He is the truthful and he must be believed as being truthful. He said, no two eyes of hellfire will touch. When he said it, we must believe it. And on one occasion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhuma wa radahuma, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اقرأ علي القرآن. اقرأ علي. Read or recite the Quran for me. He told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to recite the Quran for the one who the Quran was revealed to. This tells you something about the position of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أقرأ عليك وعليك أنزل. You want me to recite in front of you, and the Quran was revealed on you? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إني أحب أن أسمعه من غيري. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I like also that the Quran be recited by other than me. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhuma started reciting Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter of the Quran, until he came to the part which says, وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. How then if we brought from each people a witness, and we brought you, O Muhammad, as a witness against the people? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, فَرَأَيْتُ عَيْنَاي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَهْمِلَانِ. Tahmilan, meaning tazrifan. Meaning, he said, I looked up and I saw the Messenger of Allah crying. His eyes were flowing with tears. Why? Because of the beautiful voice of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? No. Because of his understanding the meaning of the ayah. And that's why he said in another narration to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, حسبك الآن. This is enough. Stop right here. And then he began to cry. And as a fiqh issue, brothers and sisters, just for a bonus, this is proof that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say صدق الله العظيم to tell someone to stop reciting the Quran. He said حسبك. That's enough. He didn't say صدق الله العظيم. So brothers and sisters, this aspect of crying in Islam is extremely important. It is an indication of al-iman al-sadiq, of true, pure iman. When you hear verses of Quran being recited, even sometimes in the English you hear them and they make you cry. When you hear the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should ponder upon them. Think about your wretched condition, because all of us, and Allah knows best, should consider our condition wretched. We should be living between tam'an wa khawfan, hope and fear. The hope that Allah will forgive us and extend His mercy on us and grant us Jannah, and the fear that He won't. We should think about these things. Some of us, we cry when we see movies. We see the color purple and we cry. We see Spartacus and we cry. And we're not saying it's haram to cry because of this. But when we hear about the battles of the Sahaba, the oppression of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, no tears fall from our eyes. When we read the verses or hear the verses of the Quran that talks about the Jannah, the felicities and the bounties of the Jannah, the mercy of Allah on us, we don't cry one tear. When we read or hear the verses of Quran or the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about the punishment of the hellfire, how deep the hellfire is should make you cry. One day when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was walking with the Sahaba, they heard a thump. They, not he, all of them heard a thump. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, asking them, do you know what this sound was? They said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger knows best. He said, that was a rock that just hit the bottom of hell that was dropped 70 years ago. 70 years ago. Hadith Sahih in Muslim. Authentic hadith, brothers and sisters. 70 years ago, it just dropped, just hit the bottom. Things like this should make us cry. Some of us cry when we see an AT&T commercial. We should cry when we read and hear these things. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up at night and he said in his tahajjud, وَلِقَاءُكَ حَقٌّ وَوَعْدُكَ حَقٌّ. Your meeting, the meeting you is true, Allah. You are true. أَنْتَ الْحَقُّ وَوَعْدُكَ الْحَقُّ. And the promise of you, Allah, is haq, it's true, it's real, it's a reality. وَالْجَنَّةِ haq, and the paradise is real. وَالنَّارُ haq, and the fire is real. وَمُحَمَّدْ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ حَقُّ وَالنَّبِيُّونَ haq. The Prophet Muhammad is real, and the prophets are real. These are not metaphorical. These are not mutashabihat. These are real, brothers and sisters. When we read and hear these things, it should cause something to happen to us. When we think about just one of the sins that we've committed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the English translation, if the human being that Allah created were punished, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought everything that we've done that our hands have wrought, we cannot withstand the punishment of Allah. If He was to charge us with everything that we've done, some of us have done things that we've forgotten that we've done wrong. And all these things are going to be presented before us when Allah says, اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. These things should make us cry, brothers and sisters. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the verse of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those individuals, as Allah says, and those who bring what they have brought with hearts afraid because they are about to return unto their Lord, Aisha radiallahu anha asked, O Messenger of Allah, الَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتُوا قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً, those whom you see, who they are about to return to their Lord, and they fear, their hearts have, they're wajila, they start shaking because they know they're about to return to their Lord. She asked him, O Messenger of Allah, are they the ones who الَّذِي يَسْرِقُ, are they the ones who steal, وَيَزْنِي, and commit adultery or fornication, وَيَشْرُبُ الْخَمَرُ, and those who drink, and it just doesn't mean drink alcohol, brothers, it means smoke also, because the word yashrab, when used with gaseous things, it means to smoke also. So khamr is liquid and gaseous and solid. وَيَشْرُبُ الْخَمَرُ, and those who use intoxicants, وَهُوَ يَخَافُ اللَّهَ عَزُّ وَجَلْ, while they fear Allah, the Messenger of Allah said, لَا لَا يَا بِنْتِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ لَا يَا بِنْتِ صِدِّيقٍ, no, O daughter of Abu Bakr, no, O daughter of the most truthful one. He said, لَكِنَّهُ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي وَيَصُومُ وَهُ يُخَافُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He said, but rather, it is those who are praying, who are fasting, and they're paying charity, and they fear that their deeds may not be accepted from them. They are those who compete with one another in doing good deeds. Rawahu Ibn Majah. These are the ones. The ones who constantly stand up at night and pray. The ones who fast, not just in Ramadan, but Mondays and Thursdays, the 13th and the 14th and the 15th of the lunar calendar. Those who yatasaddaq, those who give charity, the ones who are performing the good deeds, but they fear that they're not being accepted. Those are the people the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about in the Quran. So with this, brothers and sisters, we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not frown on those who cry for His sake, for His pleasure, out of fear for Him, because of sins that they have committed. But rather, this is istihbab. This is a highly recommended act among the acts of tazkiyah, among the acts of purification of the heart and sanctification of the soul so that we can become closer to Allah. This act of weeping and crying, brothers and sisters, is something that we should try to practice truthfully, with sincere intention. We should try to cry for the pleasure and the fear of Allah and ask Allah to make our hearts of those hearts which are layyin, which have lean in them, which are soft, which are tender, so that we can cry and have our eyes of the eyes that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said that the fire will never touch. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. Of course, brothers and sisters, the companions of the Messenger of Allah, they were the best in implementing the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you see, crying is a Sunnah. Crying for the right reasons is a Sunnah من السنن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. Is a sunnah from among the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So of course the companions, they wanted to follow suit. We have a hadith related by Anas on Athar, that after the Prophet's death, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Umar radiallahu anhu, come, let's go visit Ayman, as the Prophet used to do sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they reached her, she started to cry. And they said to her, Ma yubkiki, what makes you cry? She said, or they said, don't you know that what Allah has for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better? The Prophet had died. They went to visit her, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to follow the sunnah. So after the Prophet died and they visited her, they found her crying and asked her, why do you cry? In other words, don't you know that he has gone to that which is better? And she said, radiallahu anha, indeed I know what Allah has is better for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, walakinni, but abki anna al-wahy. She said, أبكي أن الوحي قد انقطع من السماء. قد انقطع من السماء. She said, I cry because revelation had ceased coming down from the heavens. She cried because she knew there was no more revelation. And this is another proof, brothers and sisters, that there are no more prophets or revelation after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the hadith goes on and says, this moved the two of them, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, so much that they also began to cry. Ibrahim ibn Abdul Rahman related that the food was brought to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf while he had been fasting. And he said, Mus'ab ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was killed, and he was a better man than I, and there was nothing that would serve as his shroud except a sheet so small that it would not cover his feet, at the same time his head was covered. In other words, he was so poor that they didn't have enough material to cover his body for a shroud. When they cover his head, his feet would be exposed. When they cover his feet, his head would be exposed. Then, the companion said, we were generously endowed, things got better, with the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this world, such that I am afraid lest the reward for our good works might have been hastened for us. And at that moment, he began to cry, and he left the food that was presented to him. Rawah al-Bukhari. So brothers and sisters, these small examples from the Kitab of Allah, the Book of Allah, and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, revolving around the aspects of the purification of our hearts and the sanctification of our souls, this thing called weeping, Al-Buka, is extremely important for us. Is extremely important for us, brothers and sisters. Because there are some of us that when they weep in the best type of weeping. This is a good practice to follow. That they weep when no one sees them weeping. They stand up at night, qiyam al-layl, tahajjud, and they weep when everyone else is sleeping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will receive a great bounty and reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. So inshaAllah, brothers and sisters, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who weep for His sake and His fear. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us of those who, when we hear the ayat of Quran and the authentic hadith, that we weep because of our recognition of the mercy and kindness of Allah. As Najashi, the Nugget of Abyssinia, a Christian, and we are Muslims, when he heard the verses of the Quran being recited, tears flowed from their eyes. Tears flowed from his eyes. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran about him? He and those who followed him said, write us down with those who bear witness. And he became a Muslim. And the Prophet prayed over his body. The Salatul Ghaib. A Christian heard the verses of the Quran and tears flowed from his eyes. Faktubana, write us down as those who are shahidin, who bear witness. And lastly, to show us once again the example of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Umar radiallahu anhu arrived at Sham in Syria, he saw a monk which had approached him coming out of a church or a monastery. When the monk approached him, this monk, as the hadith says, that Umar saw him, he was rahib, sheikh, kabir, mutaqahil. That he was an old, saintly, pious man. As pious as Christians can get. And his face, the hadith says, was sawad. Literally it means black, but it means that his face was mutaqahil. That he had the marks, the signs of fasting continuously, staying up all night in dua and zikr to his Lord. Not our Lord, his Lord. And when Umar saw this, fabaka, he started crying. And they asked him, wa ma yukika, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? What causes you to cry? He said, hadha al-miskeen. This indigent, spiritually indigent, needy person, talaba amran, he's desiring, calling on someone, something, thinking he's going to get the reward of Allah in the next life, and he's going to hell. And then Umar radiallahu anhu recited the verses from Surah Al-Ghashiya, amilatun nasibatun tasla naran hamiyah. He's striving and toiling, standing up all night, fasting, but he's going to hell. That's what makes me cry. If he doesn't accept Islam, in other words, he's going to hell. So Omar cried. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين.